Amen. Here am I, send me. If only more people would sing and do what that song says.
Amen.
As we come together on this morning, giving God thanks for the many blessings that He has given us, I just would like to say that as I was looking up here on this morning with Brother Colbert and his son Jesse standing beside him, and on the other side, Brother Butch and his son standing beside him,
amen.
And Brother DeMille, the odd man out. But it was good to see father and son working side by side.
Amen.
The father's business. And that father is our God above.
Amen.
There's nothing better than to see a family serving God.
Amen.
Joshua, in Joshua 24, the great decree that He gave unto the children of Israel. Choose you this day whom you will serve.
Mm-hmm.
He gave them a choice. You can serve the gods on the other side of Jordan or God Almighty. I believe that the choice that He gave them and the reply that He gave them or the statement that He gave them, as far as me and my house,
mm-hmm.
we will serve the Lord. Now that's saying a lot, isn't it? I know I might have messed that up, Brother Brian. Thank you very much. On the other side of the Euphrates, I can count on you. And that's what we're here for, to help one another out.
That's right.
I'm not afraid to admit when I make a mistake, just as Brother Claude came forth on this morning.
Amen.
The choice to serve God, to do what is right. Again, go back and look at the words of that song, "Here Am I, Send Me." And understand the importance of doing what is right before God. We need some examples.
We do.
We need somebody to follow that's going in the right direction. Brother Cal Pope. Y'all see that? Good. He compiled this lesson prepared by Brother Cal Pope and presented by Brother Melvin Spencer Jr. I didn't go and listen to the words in which he preached, and I don't like to do that because I have a tendency, if I do that, to say some of the things that they've said. Now, if I say some of the things that he said without listening to his sermon, that says a lot, doesn't it? It says that the book that we use, that is called the Bible, that's what we're following.
That's right.
A man told me back in 1991, 92, I was trying to put this paper together. And he said, I said, "I'm missing one part." He said, "I have the part you're missing." And he went and looked in his binder, and he gave me the part that I was missing. And he said, "If you ever get to a well, and that well has water in it, don't dig a new one." Have you ever been in a place, or have, let me say it like this, ask you this first. Have you ever heard someone say, that the well ran dry. If you never experienced that, consider yourself blessed. If you've never been in a place where you had to go out and draw water out of the well, and one day you went out there, or maybe you was fortunate enough to have running water in your house from that well, and you turned that faucet on, and no water came out. I was at my grandmother's house on one Saturday, and the well ran dry. They had to dig a new one. But the well that we draw our water from will never, ever run dry. We need to understand that we have plenty of examples of men doing what was right. And we have plenty of examples of men doing what is right. So again, not just Brother Colbert and Jesse or Brother Butch and Roland, but Brother Mark and Malachi, Brother Pack and Daryl. And I could go on and on and on, but some of those on and on and on are not here. But I want us to understand that when we look at the Bible and we find a passage such as Brother Brian read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You find that Paul, an apostle of our Lord and Savior, had the best example that he could ever wish for or hope for. And here's his words again. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Now, when we begin to lead our children, our grandchildren, we need to lead them in the right direction. We need to point them to God's Word. And we need to give them the opportunity to do what is right before God. And so we're going to look at it. We're going to talk about some examples on this morning. And I want you to understand, as we look and talk about these things, we need to find out, who are we following? Who are we following? I said this not too long ago, and I'm going to say it today. Michael Jordan. A lot of people, Michael Jordan was a star. No doubt about that, right? I'm not a basketball fan, pro, college. I'm just not a fan. But there's a lot of people that want to be like Mike. Some couldn't and still can't today hit a free throw. Shaq, right? But they wanted to be like Mike. They couldn't even run half court, let alone the full court. And Dante was out shooting a little ball the other day, and I said, this is the way you do it. And I dribbled, and I shot, and I missed. He said, yeah, everything but missing. And he was right about that, because the ideal is to get that ball in that hoop there. That's the ideal of it. Again, I'm not a ball player, but I can do a little bit. So that example, he did not want to follow, which is good. And he understands that. But when it comes down to looking at what Paul said here, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. That's something that we can bank on. That's something that we can rest assured that's going to get us to where God wants us to be, by listening to what Paul said right there. Now, we're going to come back to those other scriptures in a minute, so don't have to worry about running to them right now. We're going to come back to them. We are to be good examples to others. good examples to others. People are looking. People are watching. People are judging. Everything that we do. Everything that we do. A man came yesterday. Let me see, is he out in the audience right now? No, I don't see him. If he was, I was going to say the same thing anyway. Came yesterday and we talked for a little while and he had his mask on and we began to talk and he was asking me, you know, I would like to sit down and study with you. I would like to know some things. And we talked for a little while and I said, no problem, just whenever you want to, just go ahead and give me a call. And then we exchanged numbers. And when it was all said and done, we you know, I had to work my way through who he was. He knew who I was, and I had to work my way through who he was. The mask sometimes throws us off. And as he was walking off, he took his mask off. I said, oh, that's you. No problem. It wouldn't have been a problem anyway. No matter who he was, I was willing to sit down and talk to him. He has been watching me. He has been observing the things in which I do. And that's a good thing. Because if I was doing something bad, then I don't think that he would have came to me and asked me the questions that he was asking. So we have to set the right example. We have to understand that our greatest example is right here in Scripture. The Word, our Lord and our Savior. The one who gave his life on the cruel cross of Calvary in order that we may be saved. Our greatest example. So we are to be good examples to others. Who is your example? Who is your example? You know, we have some ladies out here that say, you know, my mom taught me some good things. She taught me how to treat people. She taught me how to treat my husband. She taught me how to cook. She taught me how to dress. She taught me the importance of being a good housekeeper. See, we have some ladies out there that have said those things. And then we have some men that are out there saying, my father taught me, or my daddy taught me, or my pops taught me how to be a provider for my family. How to treat ladies. How to get up in the morning, go to work, and make an honest living. See, those are some good things now. If that's the type of role model you have, hang on to them. Continue to treasure those things in which they have taught you and continue to do those things. But the question again is, who is your example? Who is your example? Is it Christ? Is it Christ? You know, Christ was obedient. Christ left his home in glory. You know the song? And came down here to bring to us what? The redemption story. Amen. Who better to preach about Jesus than Jesus?
Amen.
He came to bring to us the redemption story. So we need to understand that if Jesus is not our greatest example, we have no examples. We don't have anything to long for or to wish for or to hope for if Jesus is not your or our example. He should be, if not, right? For all that he went through, being obedient unto the Father, sweat as blood, being ridiculed for doing what was right. Our greatest example. He should be. He's our example on how to love one another. How to love one another now. See, our love is conditional. And is based upon what you do. That's not the love of Christ, is it? That's not the love that he has shown to each one of us. But What we do, again, is we say, I love you as long as you do this or you do that. You know, Anita, we have a theme every Valentine's. We have a theme. And her one of her themes was, I don't get to select the theme. She gets to select it. And I think the rules, this past year, the rules have changed. And we talked about me being able to select the theme. But one theme that she gave one year was, I'll love you until pigs fly. That's a long time, isn't it? Because none of the pigs I've ever seen has wings. So that's a long time, and I appreciate her for that. But we need to love one another. The Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You see, there in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1, Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Mm-hmm. And here Paul is saying, therefore be imitators of God. Is there any difference in Jesus and God other than one being the Father and the other being the Son? No difference whatsoever. Same mission. Same mindset. Both holding the same characteristics, the attributes. So who better to follow than God? Who better to follow than Christ? And then once Paul got his life straightened out, again, everything that he did with a clear conscience, but when he became a child of God, here he is writing, telling you to imitate him as he imitates Christ, and then turn around again and writing and saying, imitate God. Paul knew what his life represented. Paul understood the importance of following what Christ had told him to do. He understood that. He knew who his example was. So you be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Who are you imitating? Here we find our example that Christ has left us to look out for one another. We've had too many people to fall by the wayside because we are not looking out for one another. Watching, protecting, doing what is right for your fellow man, for your fellow brother, your fellow sister. Doing what is right. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 4 and 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. You know, here's the mindset of many men today. I got mine. Get yours. That's the wrong mind to have. You got yours. How did you get yours? Share with the next man so that he can get his. And if he can't get it, give him yours. The interest of others now, put them above your own. So we got some selfish people. We got some people that just don't care about nobody else. And I'm not talking about the people of the world. I'm talking about Christian folk.
Amen.
Just don't care about anybody else.
Amen.
That mind needs to change.
Amen.
If you say that you are a follower of Christ, you need to change. You need to care about the next man. He was willing to die for the world. Father, if it be thy will, allow this cup to be removed from me. You know, if it be thy will. See, Jesus wanted that cup to be removed. He was not putting himself above anybody else. And so what shows that is what he said, if it be thy will, allow it to be moved.
That's right.
The interest of others Jesus had in mind. If any other way, let's go that route. But if not, if there's not another way, I'm willing. I'm willing to be obedient. So he loved others. He put others' interests above his own. He came down here to do what was right. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in the verses 20. Willing to suffer. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. A gracious thing. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Did y'all get that? Leaving you an example. How to be patient. How to endure. Whatever you're going through in this world, if you haven't done anything wrong and someone's trying to accuse you, I'm not going to tell you to take the accusation. I'm going to tell you to stand up for what's right. But don't allow it to sway you to doing something that is wrong. You continue to do what is right. And that's what Jesus did. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly, the Father. Jesus is our example. You know, when someone, you know, we don't look at so many times the example that people have left us. Well, what we're looking for is how much money have they left us. So I can remember getting into trouble for something I don't remember doing, but I got in trouble for it. The top railing of the fence, it was a wooden fence. We was out in the country, and that top rail somehow or another came down. And you know who got the blame for it? Melvin's kids got the blame for it. I'm Melvin Jr. Melvin's kids got the blame for it. You know who got a whipping for that? Melvin's kids got a whipping for it. So I remember those things, but I also remember the whippings that I got. That person that gave me those whippings left me a great example. A great example of how to discipline, how to be encouraging, how to make sure that the child is doing what is right and keeping them on the straight and narrow. Great examples. Great examples. Don't be as Paul when he persecuted the church. Be as Paul as he encouraged the church. Don't be as Peter when he denied Christ. But be as Peter when he uplifted Christ. See, we have examples that we can follow. And again, our greatest example is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Who is your example? Who is your example? Is it Paul? Is Paul your example? You know, a lot of people don't even, you know, want to recognize Paul as being an apostle. How could he be an apostle? He was a persecutor of the church. He was an apostle because the Lord called him. Amen. That's how he was an apostle. A lot of people say, why do you want to follow the writings of Paul? Paul is in hell. Nowhere in Scripture do I find that Paul was sentenced to hell. I find what the Holy Spirit allowed it to be written that I have fought a good fight. Amen. Laid up for me is a crown. Not for me only, but for all those that love his appearing. Now, if you don't want to believe in what Paul wrote, I don't know what to tell you. But is it the Apostle Paul? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and the verse is 6. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. Is Paul your example? See, although we think about Paul and we think about the life in which he lived, Paul had to be humbled. And when we read and we find that, you know, Paul's life when he became a Christian, it wasn't all peaches and cream. It wasn't a rose garden. And then again, it could have been a rose garden. Why? Because Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He could have stumbled it and fell up against one of those roses and got that thorn. You know, roses look good, but have you ever worked with those things? You get stuck. And then every now and then you get a little bitty piece of that thorn in your finger and you really don't know it's there until the next morning you look at it, you be like, man, what happened? It's a reminder that you should have wore gloves working with those things. But here we find examples of men that have done what was right. And we need to say, I want to follow after him. I want to be more like him because I understand that he is more like Christ. And being like him makes me like Christ. So we need to do what's right. He urged the Corinthians. He encouraged the Corinthians to give them no offense there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the verse is 32. Look at verse 31, it says in 1 Corinthians 10, so whether you eat or drink or whether you do whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone and everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. We can't do what is wrong and think God is going to be pleased with those things. No way. We have to continue to put him first. So there, he's urging the Corinthians. He's urging them not to give offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. So that's going to put all of them right there together. We need to know what God wants us to do. There in verse 33 again, he said, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Or are we living that someone may look at our lives and say, hey, I wonder what is motivating him. I wonder what is motivating her to continue to hold on when they're going through so much in this world. Paul says, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. What can we do in order to benefit the next man? What can we do? We can keep living for Christ. We can keep doing what's necessary in order for us to be who we're supposed to be. And then you go to the book of Philippians chapter 3. And he's urging the Philippians here to be mature. Continue to grow. See, there are some people that think that they're grown, but they're not mature. Yeah, you may have the age, you may have the size, but what about what's going to get you ahead in life? Do you have that? What's going to put you in favor with God? Do you have that? First, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to the mark. This is what it says. Now, I press on to the mark to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if any, in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. So sometimes when Paul writes, he's not forgetting about the weak, but he's focusing on the strong. See, you have to pick those things out of in some of these letters and say, oh, this is for me right here because I'm weak. Or this is for me right here because I'm strong. So he said, let those of us who are mature think this way. So somewhere in this letter to the audience that was listening to it or reading it, some of them were mature. And he urged them to continue to do what was right. Now, can you imagine reading a letter and you get to a point like that and you know that this person over here is not as mature as they need to be, and you say, well, this part is not for you. And you read that part and they say, well, why not? And you have to explain to them, because you are not living up to your potential. You're not imitating Christ. See, Christ was mature at a very young age, preaching the gospel, teaching men. And there they are being, you know, astonished by his learning, by his words, by the questions in which he was asking. See, we can be mature, but we choose not to be. But he said, let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Who is your example? Who is your example? Is it other faithful Christians? See, we need some faithful Christians in our lives, do we not? We need some people that we can depend upon. We need some people that we can lean on. We need some people that we can talk to. Oh, the world is willing to listen to everything that you have to say, but as soon as you tell the world what's on your mind, they run and tell someone else. See, we need faithful Christians in our lives. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Watch me. Do what I do. Say what I say. Be the person that Christ wants you to be. So brothers, join in imitating me. Isn't that great that Paul could say that? Preaching and teaching the gospel, going from place to place, setting up local congregations in order that people may be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. We need faithful Christians in our lives.
Amen.
We need faithful Christians in our lives. In Hebrews chapter 6 in the verses 12, Hebrews chapter 6 in the verses 12. To imitate the faith and patience of those who inherit the promises. We like to talk to people that, you know, that have inherited some things. How much money did they leave you? What you gonna do with all that money? You can't spend all that money. But we need to focus on some great inheritance, some great promises, some things that will never fade away. Hebrews chapter 6 and the verses 12. So that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Inherit the promises. You switch on over there into Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 6 and says, "And but without faith it is impossible to please God or please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." Look down at verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and he says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." So we need to look at some people in Scripture that have done what was right, and going back again to 6:12, "So that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Those people that did what God wanted them to do, showed their faith by their works, they're going to receive those promises. And we too can receive them if we would only do what is right. And then we find in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse 7. "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." I did a quick survey on last night of all the people since I've been here that have passed on. And I even thought about a couple of the ones that people talked to me about once I got here that passed right before I got here. And I was just going through my mind on some of the things that have been said about them, some of the things that I myself was able to witness. And some of them I could say, I want to be like that person. Because that person stood for what was right. Sister Cullen, down in the place where she was residing, she fought a good fight. Those people were giving her what for, and in turn she was giving them the word of God. Anita and I went up there to see her one day, and it was a little bit dark in her room, and she didn't recognize who we were. And she thought Anita was one of those ladies that she had been dealing with, and she was ready to get her. She was ready. I believe that we need more people that are ready to stand and willing to stand for what is right.
Amen.
We need to follow the example of faithful people. Our greatest example, again, is our Lord and our Savior.
Yes.
Let's do what's right. Let's be the people that God wants us to be. Who are you following? Is it some other Christian? Or is it the people of the world? We need to know if it's the people of the world. We need to change.
Amen.
Our young people have left us examples. Now, I want to say this real quick. There are some parents out there that are allowing their children to influence them, allowing their children to pull them away, allowing their children to dictate on how they're going to dress, what they're going to do, when they're going to do it. That needs to change. That needs to change. And I know we got a lot of older people out here that don't have any young people at home, but we have some young people out here that have some young people at home. And our children do not dictate on what we need to do. Okay? In the book of Matthew chapter 18 and the verses 6, Matthew chapter 18 and the verses 6, it talks about, you know, somebody doing something to a little one here. In verse 6, it says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." Mm-hmm. Is our children our example today? Are we uplifting our children? Or are we, you know, putting our children where they need to be? Not putting them down, but putting them up. Are we doing that? If not, we need to start. We need to start. And then there are those people that allow the world to be their example. Did y'all know Did y'all know that there are those beer commercials out there? And people always said, I want to be like that pro basketball player, that pro football player. And then they see this man or this woman in you know, on a beer commercial. Those people can't do those commercials when they're actively involved in those sports. They can't do those commercials. I don't know if y'all knew that or not, but they can't do them. But people want to be like the world. He was a great ball player, and now he's a great drinker. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. If they say bad things about you, let it not be because you're doing things bad. If somebody's always saying good things about you, you may want to go back and examine your ways. Somebody somewhere down the line need to be talking bad about you because you're doing good. Oh, he think he's better than me. No, he don't think he's better than you. Y'all want the rest of that? He know he's better than you because he's doing what God want him to do. He has been forgiven. But a lot of people allow the world to dictate on how they're living.
That's right.
And what they're doing. What kind of example are you? An example of a faithful Christian? Are you that type of example? An example that contributes to the growth of the church? Well, what has inspired you? Who has inspired you, encouraged you to do what is right for the growth of the church? See, we need more young people to be dedicated to the work of the Lord. None of us are getting any younger. None of us are getting any younger. You know, well, you know, I laugh at people sometimes, and then it makes me sad at times about what people say. But none of us are getting any younger. From the day that we were conceived, things began, you think, going uphill? No, things were going downhill. We may never reach our peak, but we will reach judgment.
Amen.
And we have to do the things that are right. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, and we're going to close. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and the verse is 12. Listen to it, and listen to it well. Command and teach these things in verse 11. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. There was a day when each one of us was young, but that day is past for many of us. But when you are young, if you are young, don't let no one despise your youth. You do what is right. You be that person that God wants you to be. You speak the truth. You stand boldly for what you know to be right. In confidence, you do the Lord's will. Who is your example? Christ is our greatest example.
Amen.
Let's live for Him. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God and you want to become one, that opportunity is given to you to come and to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to have your sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism, rising to walk a newness of life, be an example to others. Maybe you're here and you're straight away. We're asking you to come back. We're asking you to confess your faults. Bible says Jesus is just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. So maybe you're here, maybe you're an alien sinner and you need to come to Christ. Maybe you're an erring sinner and you need to come back to Christ. Whichever the case may be, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.